I'm glad Brother Fenter is here also. I love this man. I haven't been around him all that much, but I know a lot about him. And there are times when I'm praying for widows and widowers, I mention him by name in prayer as I think about those who have lost their mates. As I think about the book of Proverbs, as I think about the first chapters of Proverbs, the first three chapters, it's like a father speaking to a son. It's like an older person speaking to a young man. And he gives him plenty of wisdom. But I believe the outstanding passage that I want us to deal with tonight is found in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I try to encourage people to memorize certain passages of the Bible, not only to memorize them, to repeat them, but to live by them. You know, there are things that we can know factually, just like we will study tonight. And it takes time sometimes to realize the import of that particular verse. For example, life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Well, I knew that back in college, and even before that. But now, at my age, I know more of the meaning of that. That life is so swift in its passing. In chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the wise man said, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." I would like for each young person especially to live by that. I believe that many who have been on the earth a number of years have known about this, and that you trust in the Lord. But I want to emphasize some things about this particular passage. The word trust, now you take that one word, it's mentioned 74 times in the book of Psalms. There are times that I feel down. I feel discouraged. Maybe something has occurred. Maybe something that has been said that has brought me very low in spirit. And I go to the book of Psalms and memorize passages in years ago that I quote them in silence. And it calms my wearied soul. Trust in the Lord. The word trust, belief, yes, but in a sense even stronger than that. That is to have complete reliance and trust or confidence in a person especially. You know, that's lacking today. You think about it. Who do you trust to teach your children? Who do you trust in the investment of your money? Who do you trust in the government of our nation? And who do you trust when one is preaching from the Bible? And can I trust my own feelings at times? And so when we talk about trust, can I have complete confidence in this individual? I have very close friends, gospel preachers especially, but others, that I would trust my life with them. Roger Dill is one, faithful gospel preacher. We went to school together even one year in high school. And that was way back in 19... Anyway, he's a little older than me. And I have complete trust in him. But man sometimes can fail us. And so we are to have complete confidence. And he says, trust in the Lord. Now the Lord is faithful. He cannot lie. Whatever he says, he will do. Whatever he promises, he will do. As you know, that some promises are conditional, but there are some that are not. And you can rely on him who is faithful in all that he says. So he is saying to this young man, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now notice he didn't say half or three quarters. He said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That reminds me of this scribe, Matthew 22, that came to Jesus. Some others had already tried him. And he wants to know what is the first, the greatest, the foremost commandment. Now, it is brought out that he came really to test him, but he leaves with a different attitude toward the Lord. So the Lord told him, the first is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You see, that's the first. And could you not substitute trust in the Lord with all of your soul, with all your strength and mind, and all of your being, you see? And so we need to learn to trust. And I've mentioned this from time to time, that trusting in the Lord is a work in progress. Just like other characteristics that is to be embodied in a child of God. The older we become as a child of God in the body of the Lord, we should be more like the Lord than we were when we first obeyed the gospel. So if you take all those characteristics mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, well, then you know that you need to grow in that. And this is why I say that growing in the trust in the Lord is a work in progress. Now, I can mention several, but I want to mention one that we know about. Abraham. We refer to him as the father of the faithful. And you know that he chose Abram out of all the people and had him to leave Ur of Chaldees. He came to Haran, and then he goes into the land of promise. Now, this man, when you read Romans 4, he believed in God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It will say that he did not waver in his faith. But that's the totality of the life of Abraham. It doesn't mean that Abraham was perfect, but the totality of his life was one of faith. For example, in chapter 12, there with Pharaoh, he tells a lie that Sarai is his sister. And then later on, in about chapter 20, with another great ruler, he tells the same thing. So twice he does not tell the truth. And you think about that he had no directive from the Lord to go into Egypt in the first place. And then you think about with Hagar, he consented with his wife Sarah to have a child by Hagar. And that was not what the Lord God had intended. So he's growing in his trust. He is still making mistakes, as humans will. But when you come to the time that God said, now I want you to take Isaac. Now he knows that is the child. That is the promised child through which the Messiah will come. And I want you to take this son of yours and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. And so he takes him. And he puts him on the altar. And you know how that he was about to slay his own son. The reason is because he thought that if he did that, God would raise him from the dead. And even when he left those three servants behind, we go yonder to worship and we, plural, shall return. You see, then he is not wavering at all in his faith in God. So by reason of time, we come to trust God more and more. If we are of the age, we've been on the earth a long time. And I'll tell you, I was born in 35, that's 1935. And so I'm up there. It's hard for me to realize I'm of the latter generation. But I've learned more to trust in God because life has been difficult in many ways. And you learn to trust. Oh, there's deaths. I'm one sibling left out of six. That I have no blood kin left in that sense. And I could talk to you about the tragic deaths of two of my brothers who were killed. And there's been other trials in life. And Virginia and I, in our nearly 60 years of marriage coming August, if we live, of the difficulties that we've had, as we look back, we see God's providence in our lives, where we started from. That trailer was so small that I had to go outside to change my mind. And we had water from a hose from the building there on the campus came in, and we heated the whole thing by the oven. And I can tell you a lot. But we look back, and God's blessed us. We have trusted in the Lord. And so it's a progress in the Christian's life. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not upon your own understanding. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things and is exceedingly corrupt. Jeremiah 10:23. And Jeremiah 17:9. It is not in man to direct his own steps. We can't go by how I feel. I've had people who tell me, I feel like I am saved. How were you saved? Was it by the biblical teaching? How that God has told you through his word to be saved? We cannot go by feelings. Jacob went by feelings. Joseph is dead. Our hearts can deceive us. I can say that I feel here that I'm saved. But you can't rely on that. And so he is not saying for us to go according to the way that I feel. There are times that I feel like I'm on the right road. And I wind up, I'll give you an example. My wife came from Central Florida. I married a slaughter from Wildwood. She is a good woman, though. As like a lamb. But anyway, we were going down there from, I think, Ozark, where we lived, and below Dothan. I was to turn in Greenwood, but I turned prematurely. And we came to the Chattahoochee River, and there was no bridge. And there happened to be a ferry. So we got across. But you know, all the time I felt like I was on the right road. You can't, as you apply that religiously, you say, I feel like this is right. We have to have a thus saith the Lord. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And I tell young people that God has given you abilities, innate abilities, and he expects you to use them. And whatever you do in life and you become successful, always give God the credit. Give God the thanks. Whatever you do in life that's honorable and right, pure, acceptable to God, give God the glory. So many people don't. And today it's me, what's important to me, myself. I have done this. I pulled myself up by my own bootstrap. No, you didn't. You just think you did. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Always give God the thanks. And then he says, and he will direct your path. I want you to ponder on that thought. If you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. He will establish your paths. There's a passage, as I mentioned, the book of Psalm, that I want you to notice with me. And it's found in the book of Psalm 37 and in verse 23. Listen very closely. The steps of a good man are ordered, that is, established, by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. What a beautiful thought. Of a good man living for the Lord, God is with him, will uphold him. Even though he may fall, he will not be utterly cast down. God will lift him up. So we have that promise. God will be with us. And so as I think about this passage, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not to lean upon our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Trust in the Lord. You trusted in the Lord when you, as a penitent believer, were immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. There was no physical evidence in the water of a baptistry or a creek or a pond or a river. You believed in him who said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." You see. And there are the times that we learn to trust in the Lord. There are times that we're down and out and there's a lot of sorrow, death in our family. And you think about this, that he has promised, Hebrews 13 verse 5, that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He will always be with us. And so God is with us in the valleys and on the mountaintops. But regardless, we're to trust in him and glorify him in whatever occurs in this life. Many of us have been tested. You never know the strength of a man until you know what it takes to discourage him. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's Proverbs. That's true. And so when I see the passing of elderly men and women in Christ, I know that the totality of their life was trusting in God. Trusting in God. And they've been a very encouraging person to me as a preacher of the gospel. There are times that we have, and it's a reality, financial difficulties. I know there are some people who do not seek work. There are good and honest people who want work and can't find it. And there comes a time in the life of a person in his 50s, and he may lose a job, and nobody wants to hire a 55-year-old man. And there are good people that are without. And yet there are times that we must remember, like in Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, "I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread." In that verse is the providence of God. He will take care of us. And that's applicable for somebody in India that would not be dwelling in a house like unto the one in which we live. God will be with them. There is one passage in the book of Habakkuk that I want to read for you. It's one of the most outpouring of faith in God that you can read in the Old Testament. It is one of complete trust in God. In fact, before this, somebody has put a hymn of faith. And this is found in the third chapter of Habakkuk. Listen to verse 17. Listen very carefully. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall or fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Now you just think about that. Cattle gone. Crops are gone. The fruit gone. And yet he says, "I will glorify God. I will rejoice in the Lord." That's faith. That's trust. That God will take care of us. There are times that death invades our families. And we've had loved ones to die. And David, Brother Fenter, and all gospel preachers, how many times have we been with families when the loved one has died? How many funerals have we, quote unquote, preached? How many times have we stood by an open grave and to say some comforting words? In the book of John, the gospel according to John chapter 11, you know, Jesus died for all mankind. God sent him because he loved the world. But there was a particular family about 2 miles south of Jerusalem in the village of Bethany that, if you read this passage, it said he loved them. He loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And I could just imagine that when working in that area, teaching and healing, that he would feel so comfortable that he could go in and rest for a while or to eat a meal with his family. He was very close to them. Word comes, he is in Bethabara, another word for Bethany, across the Jordan River, just a little north of the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And word comes, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Well, he waits 2 days. Then he goes. He gets there on the fourth day. He is told why he's dead. The fact is, he died the day that the servant got there. Somebody wrote a song about that Jesus was 4 days late, but he was on time. Had a reason for that. That his disciples, apostles, needed their faith to be increased. The faith of Mary and Martha needed to be increased. And even the Jews who stood by to see that man resurrected from that tomb needed their faith in Jesus as being the Son of God. But you know the verse that the children learned. Jesus wept. He was moved emotionally. Now he knows what he's going to do, but he wept. He wept. Oh, and Martha, when she had come out to see him, oh, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Basically, that's what Mary said. In fact, that's about the only thing we know about Mary saying anything. It wasn't a matter of distance. He could do that. He had done that. But he had a reason. He was on his father's time. Your brother will rise. Yes, she said, I know that he will rise in the last day. So even under the old covenant, there was awareness that there was going to be a resurrection day. One of the main cardinal doctrines of the New Testament is the literal bodily resurrection one day. He embodied that doctrine when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes and lives in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asked Martha. We have the blessed assurance that if we believe, that entails all that is required of our giving our lives for the Lord. But if we believe in the Lord, our trust is in him, and we live for him, though he die physically, we shall live. Isn't that a comforting thought? That you're going to live after this life is over. And then I move over to 1 John chapter 5. And he will say in verse 11, the witness is this, or the testimony is this, that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. And he who has the Son has the life. And the next passage, he's going to reassure them by saying basically the same thing. We have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glory divine. That the life that we have is in Christ and what he did on Calvary for you and for me. We have this abundant life now, presently, and in eternity, life with God with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and with all the redeemed of all the ages. You know how marvelous the thought. I want to summarize talking about trust. I used to start counting on my thumb when I had 5 points. I'm going to do it differently. Take the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Amen. Amen. The lesson is yours. If you need to respond to Jesus Christ as a penitent believer to be immersed in His name for remission of sins, we encourage you to do that tonight. If there's a need for prayers on your behalf, any way we can help you, the elders here, please come while together we stand, while we sing.